ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Translation commentary by Srila Prabhupada, Madhya Leela, Chapter 20. The Lord instructs Sanatana Goswami. Today's text is 353. Sarvagya Muniravakya Shastra Paraman. Sarvagya Muniravakya Shastra Paraman. Ama Sabaji Verhoi Shastra Dvaragyan. Ama Sabaji Verhoi Shastra Dvaragyan. A word? Sarvagya Muniravakya. Jai Sri Sivara Gopina. The words of the omniscient Muni, Vyasadeva, Shastra Paraman, evidence of revealed scriptures, Amasabha, all of us, Jivera, of the conditioned souls, Hoi, there is, Shastra Dvara, through the medium of revealed scriptures, Gyan, knowledge. This is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continuing to instruct Srila Sanatana Goswami. The context is Sanatana is asking, how do we know who an authentic avatar is, a bona fide incarnation? Especially nowadays, there are a dime a dozen. So he's asking, and Lord Chaitanya is answering. Translation. The Vedic literatures composed by the omniscient Mahamuni Vyasadeva are evidence of all spiritual existence. Only through these revealed scriptures can all conditioned souls attain knowledge. Please repeat, the Vedic literatures composed by the omniscient Mahamuni Vyasadeva. Are evidence of all spiritual existence. Only through these revealed scriptures can all conditioned souls attain knowledge. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Foolish people try to concoct knowledge by manufacturing something in their brains. That is not the real way of knowledge. Knowledge is Shabda Praman, evidence from the Vedic literature. Srila Vyasadeva is called Mahamuni. Mahamuni. He is also known as Vedavyas because he has compiled so many shastras. He has divided the Vedas into four divisions, Sama, Rig, Yajur, and Atharva. He has expanded the Vedas into 18 Puranas and has summarized Vedic knowledge in the Vedanta Sutra. He also compiled the Mahabharata, which is accepted as the fifth Veda. The Bhagavad Gita is contained within the Mahabharata. Therefore, the Bhagavad Gita is also Vedic literature, Smriti. Some of the Vedic literatures are called Shrutis, and some are called Smritis. Srila Rupa Goswami recommends in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.101, Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Vidhingvina Aikantiki Hare Bhaktir Utpatyaya Kalpate. Unless one refers to Shastra, Shruti, Smriti, and Puranadi, one's spiritual activity simply disturbs society. There is no king or government to check people, and therefore society has fallen into a chaotic condition as far as spiritual understanding is concerned. Taking advantage of this chaotic condition, many rascals have appeared and proclaimed themselves incarnations of God. As a result, the entire population is indulging in sinful activities such as illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. Out of many sinful people, many so-called incarnations of God are emerging. This is a very regrettable situation, especially in India. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sarvagya munirvakya shastra paraman ama sabajiver hoy shastra dvara gya. So one one hallmark of our founder Acharya is of his unflinching faith, Srila Prabhupada's unflinching faith in shastra. And as Srila Prabhupada mentions in the in the word for word, it says shastra dvar, through the medium of revealed scriptures. So we have our famous checks and balances triangle, guru, sadhu, shastra. What is that? Narottam Das Thakur. Guru, sadhu, shastra, bhakya, chitte, te, kori, aikya. Even in, I think it's construction, they say the triangle is the most solid structure. So therefore you see, at least in America, they have these railroad bridges over canyons or rivers. And you see there's many little triangles supporting the tracks. So our triangle is guru, sadhu, and shastra. So Prabhupada makes the point here, the medium is revealed scriptures. It's only by knowing the shastra that we can know who's an authentic guru and a sadhu. But there's another side of that too. We can't even really understand shastra truly without the help of an authentic guru. Therefore, it says in the Mahabharata, Tarko pratishta shutayo vibhinna nasa vrishir yasya matang nibhinnam dharmasya tatvang nihitang guhayam mahajano yinagatak sapanta. Tarko pratishta. We can't know the absolute truth by argument. That's not how we can know it. And Srila Prabhupada says, he defines in one place an agnostic, somebody who thinks that we can never know, as someone who thinks there's a possibility of arguing about transcendence. I don't know, therefore nobody knows. But actually that's not true. That's not true. Just because I don't know doesn't mean no one knows. But that's classic human projection. Just like there was once a Gestalt therapist, psychologist in the 60s. His name was Fritz Perls from Esalen Institute in Big Sur, California. So he had a nice comment about projection, how we're always projecting our stuff onto others. So, for example, you know, if I'm lusty, angry, or greedy, that's how my mind will think. Well, why are you so lusty? Why are you so angry? Why are you so greedy? It's because that's how I am, so I'm projecting my stuff onto you. But I can't face what's in me, so I project it onto you. So Fritz Perls says, you hate yourself, but you think it's me you're hating. Projection, it's the damnedest thing. So when the agnostic says, as my dear departed father always said, son, nobody knows. That means I don't know, therefore nobody knows? Ooh. That's the height of arrogance. No, there are, yes, Srila Vyasadeva is a man, you could say. He's a human being, but he's not a human being like you and me. Idang bhagavatam nama puranam brahma sammitam. This is the third chapter of the first canon. Uttama shloka charitam chakara bhagavan rishi. The Bhagavatam itself is an incarnation of Krishna, and the one who compiled it is an incarnation of Krishna. Chakara Bhagavan Rishi. So this is what Sutta Goswami says. So there are people and there are people. There are souls and there are souls. It's, you know, life is a many-splendored thing. So just because I don't know doesn't mean somebody doesn't know. And Shastra, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Brahmakshara Samudbhavam, that the Vedas are directly manifested from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna breathes out the Vedas. Now who compiles it? Srila Vyasadeva. So when Sanatana Goswami is asking Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how do we know who a real avatar is? You know, because right, even in Mahaprabhu's time, Sri Advaita Prabhu was praying, dear Lord, please come. This whole place is being overrun by Mayavadis and demigod worshippers and caste Brahmins and Sahajas, so please come and reestablish religious principles. So Mahaprabhu came and he established the Yuga Dharma, chanting Hare Krishna, but not showing by example. He's God himself, Avatari, the source of all avatars. But he showed the example of establishing the Yuga Dharma, chanting Hare Krishna, by Shastra. Iti shoda shakang, here's one of the verses Mahaprabhu would say. Iti shoda shakang nam nam kali kalmashanashanam natak paratoropayak sarva vedeshu drishyate. These 16 words of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, are especially designed to counteract all the bad effects of this age. And there's no higher religious principle than chanting Hare Krishna. So to remind Sanatana and all of us, Mahaprabhu says, just think, Sanatana, look what happened. I mean, Shastra is so perfect that 5,000 years ago, or 4,500 years ago at that time, it predicted the appearance of Lord Buddha. Buddha came, and the village, the place, his parents, the people, who he is, what he's going to do, what his mission is. And then, look, Sanatan, also it says in the 12th canon of the Bhagavat that at the end of this Kali Yuga, there's going to be Kalki, and he's going to appear as the son of this such and such person, Vishnu Yasa, and appear in this village, Shambhala, in this province, in this town. And then he also pointed out of how we can know the incarnation of Krishna for this age. And he quoted another verse from Bhagavatam. And which verse did he quote? 11th canto, Krishna Varnang Tvisha Krishna. He's talking about himself, but he didn't say that because he's playing the part of a devotee. Krishna Varnang Tvisha Krishnam Sangopangastra Parshadam Jagai Sankirtanai Prayair Yajantihi Sumedasaha. Krishna Varnang, the color of Krishna in this age, Krishna Varnam, Tvisha Krishnam, it's not blackish, it's A Krishna. Sangopangastra Parshadam, he's going to appear with his associates, his friends, his Parshadas. And Jaggai Sankirtanai Prayai, and those who are wise, who are blessed, who are fortunate, they're going to worship this incarnation by performing Sankirtan Jagga. Yajanti Hisumedasa, if they have sufficient Medha, if they have sufficient Buddhi, intelligence. So in this way, Mahaprabhu is pointing out the efficacy of Shastra. It's the medium. It's the medium revealed scriptures. Now again, we can't really deeply understand the medium without the help of authentic guru. So they go together. It's Shastra. That's the medium. But then there's other aspects of the triangle. So Tarko Pratishta, we can't argue about it. This is Mahabharata, Vanaparva, text 313, 117. Tarko Pratishta, you can't argue about it with your puny Dr. Frog ascending, you know, speculation. Shrutayo vipinna, nor even by studying the Shrutis, the Vedas, can we know it. You can't just sit down and read the Vedas. I once took a philosophy of religion course, Eastern religion course, at the University of Connecticut back in the day, 1960s. The most bewildered person in the class was the teacher. because he had read more than we had. And all he'd read was Advaita Vedanta, and it's just full of paradoxes. So he'd say something, and then he'd think of something opposite, and then he'd giggle, you know. Because he didn't have a bona fide spiritual master to help him navigate the paradoxes. Like, tadejati, tanayajati, the Supreme Lord walks, and he does not walk. Tadure, tadvantike, he's far away, but he's very near as well. Tadantarasya sarvasya, he's within everything. Tadu sarvasyasya bahyataha, but he's outside of everything. So if you don't have a bona fide spiritual master to help you navigate through Shruti or Smriti or anything, you just start giggling. And then the joke's on us, because time is passing and then we have to, you know, flunk again and come back and start all over again. And oh my God, not again. Especially, I don't want to be a teenager again. It's hellish. Excuse me, any teenagers in the house? Well, you're lucky. You're blessed teenagers. You're going to be 19 in January? Yeah, I remember when this lady was born. In Jagannath Puri, yeah? Yes. Okay, so the medium is the guru. But then it seems like a catch-22. Well, if you can't know the scripture except through the guru, and you can't know who a guru is except... But then we have sadhu, too. Sadhu. So it's a collaborative effort. Sadhus and gurus, they follow... The definition, actually, of who's a sadhu is somebody who follows Shastra. This is what Krishna says. Just happen to have this reference handy. Pulled it out of my sleeve like Sai Baba. No. You've seen that movie? It's a movie of... Oh, I said the name, sorry. A journalist was filming a SB session in South India. And he was focusing on the guy's sleeves. And he was pulling out all this stuff out of his sleeve. It was just like the Wizard of Oz, you know, just like a, you know, we say in America, snake oil. There's always somebody trying to sell you snake oil, you know. Anyway, so Shastra is not snake oil. And here is, in the divine and the demoniac natures, the first four texts of this chapter of the Gita is all about the divine. But most of the chapter is about the demoniac nature. Why? Yeah, and that's because that's where we're coming from. You know, we've... Most of it's addressed... Look, we're trying to recover from this demoniac nature, trying to enjoy and control separately from Krishna. So, in text 23, after describing the demoniac nature, Krishna even impersonates a demon. It's really great. Hidamadhyamayalabdham imang prapsye manoratam. Chris is a supreme impressionist, since I like to do voices. Idamasti namabime bhavishyati punardhanam is a couple of more verses, and then Krishna, and then this is the translation. The demoniac person thinks, this is Krishna impersonating a demon, so much wealth do I have today, and I will gain more according to my schemes. So much is mine now, and it will increase in the future more and more. He is my enemy, and I have killed him. And my other enemies will also be killed. I am the lord of everything. I am the enjoyer. I am perfect, powerful, and happy. I am the richest man, surrounded by aristocratic relatives. There is none so powerful and happy as I am. I shall perform sacrifices. I shall give some charity. And thus I shall rejoice. And then Krishna does his little editorial. After that, it says, Ityagyana vimohitaha hitahaha. In this way, such persons are deluded by ignorance. Krishna's giving a purport to his own impersonation. So in the toward the end of the chapter, Krishna talks about the three gates leading to hell, lust, anger, and greed. And the only thing that saves us from that is that we agree to follow the regulative principles of freedom as they contained in Shastra. So in the last two texts of the chapter, Krishna makes it very clear that what separates the divine from the demoniac nature is simply a willingness to follow authority, the authority of God. So here's text 23. Prabhupada would quote this a lot. Yakshastivinamutsunja varatati kamakaritaho nasasidhim avapnoti nasukang naparangatim. He who discards scriptural injunctions, discards, just throw it in the wastebasket. He who discards scriptural injunctions and acts according to his own whims attains neither perfection, nor happiness, nor the supreme destination. So that's the, you know, that's the fruit of our independence, our so-called independence. We don't get perfection. We're not happy. And we don't go back to Godhead. Now, counterpoint. Krishna never leaves us in the lurch. He always gives us the remedy here. Next text. Tasmat chastram pramanam te karya karya vyavastito gyatva shastra vidhanoktam karma kartum iharhasi. This is the last text. And in the last text of each chapter, it's a real roundup. It's a real powerful verse. So you know, I don't know how it is in other languages, but in English, we always save the most important stuff for the last part of the sentence or the paragraph or the thesis or whatever it is. So here's what Krishna says in the last text of the divine and demoniac natures. One should therefore understand what is duty and what is not duty by the regulations of the scriptures. Knowing such rules and regulations, one should act so that he may gradually be elevated. Okay, so Shastra. So Shastra doesn't exist in isolation. It exists through our guides, our sadhus and gurus. All right? So what happens when we follow Shastra? Is it just a bunch of rules and regulations? No. Sometimes our founder Acharya would say, this is not the International Society for Rules and Regulations. It's the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. If we just follow the rules for the sake of following the rules, it's called Niyamagraha. Yeah, Niyamagraha. And if we whimsically reject the rules as being, oh, it's external, Prabhu. It's just rules. It's called Niyamagraha. So we have to follow the rules for the right reason, to please Guru and Krishna. And we can't reject the rules, but we have to follow. And that's how we become purified. Otherwise, we remain Nityabuddha, and we don't, our true glory as souls, part and parcel of Krishna, never manifests, and we are forever compromised by Krishna, as Krishna says, my inferior nature, apara, prakriti. That's why we have four defects. What are the four defects, Mark? Illusion, imperfect senses. Tendency to, even though I have imperfect senses, I make mistakes, I'm subject to illusion, still, I think, this is this, and this is that, and this is, you know. It's like I was living in Los Angeles in the 1970s, late 70s. I was indexing Prabhupada's Bhagavatams, and one morning I walked by a newspaper, and the headline was, the Los Angeles Times, the headline was, scientists are no longer sure why the sun shines. As though they were ever sure, right? I mean, it's the very process is cheating. You know, the infinitesimal conditioned soul can never ascend up to absolute origins or anything. So, yeah. So the only hope is that we become steeped in Shastra. So if we become steeped in Shastra, we actually become free from the four defects. If we actually live it, that's another symptom of a guru. What's symptoms of a guru? Mundaka Upanishad. Anybody know? Name some lines our founder Acharya would often quote. I'm sorry, I missed it. I was being... Say it again. Yeah, that's, you just said the English. Good. Tasmad gurum prapadyeta jigyasu shreya uttamam. Shabde pare cha nishta tam brahman yupasham ashrayam. He's heard it and he lives it. He doesn't just hear it and then, but he lives it. Here is how, I don't know if I did this last time, but one of my favorite passages is the last text of the third chapter of the Bhagavatam, Descriptions of Incarnations. And then there's a nice text where Sutta Goswami is talking about when he heard the Bhagavatam from Shukadev. O learned Brahmins, when Shukadev Goswami recited Bhagavatam there in the presence of Emperor Parikshit, I heard him with rapt attention. And thus, by his mercy, I learned the Bhagavatam from that great and powerful sage. Now I shall try to make you hear the very same thing as I learned it from him and as I have realized it. So we do that in school. You know, we play the telephone game. And then it comes back garbled. Why? Because we're subject to the four defects. We're compromised by our ferocious attachment to matter. So the fruit of that ferocious attachment is that we're going to have to suffer four defects. We're going to forever be illusion, make mistakes, cheat, imperfect senses. But if we give rapt attention to the Shastra and then we try it out, and Prabhupada would always challenge, you know, be scientific, make an experiment. Don't just believe me. There's a nice, there you are. On Yadavar Prabhu's following Srila Prabhupada, there's a nice memoir in Bombay. And he's an Indian devotee, and he's saying on the DVD, because you see, you know, Hare Priya's father's genius is that he's shown the movies, but isn't just showing the movies, he's taking the people in the movies, and he's telling us what's going on in the movies, you know, that we're seeing. So this Indian devotee's in the movie, and he's saying that, we were on the roof in Bombay, and Prabhupada was all these big guns, you know, big GBCs and Yasis, and then Prabhupada's challenging us. And he's brand new. He's a brand new devotee. And he's challenging us, and he's saying, how do you know that Krishna's God? How do you know that Krishna's God? And then people start quoting verses, and Prabhupada said, no, Krishna could be lying. And then somebody says something about Prabhupada. And Prabhupada could say, I could be deluded. Krishna could be lying. I could be deluded. And people are like, huh? You know, everything that Prabhupada ever taught us, he's throwing out, you know. And then, everybody was stumped. But then this new devotee, you know, sometimes, well, I won't say that. I was going to say fools rush in, but he wasn't a fool. He was actually, he said the right thing. He raised his hand and he said, Srila Prabhupada, I don't know, I'm brand new, I don't know anything, but you know when I chant Hare Krishna, I feel Krishna. Yes, you feel Krishna. So Prabhupada was going by pratyaksha vagamang dharmyang, the pratyaksha, not of seeing the sun with the naked eye, that direct perception, but actually feeling Krishna when you chant. And that's available. If I hear, you know, it's like this morning Yoda Maharaj looked over at me and I was down for the count, you know. And the Thwap Katho Sang see sit. So before Father Time reached Dush, or Dis, Maharaj, he did just by his glance, I could feel his glance, and I went, oh, thank you. My mind was somewhere out, you know, I don't know, at the movie somewhere, you know. So, I put it back. So if I'm not feeling Krishna, I have to hear. So Prabhupada, yes, you feel Krishna. And then all the devotees were amazed. Now, one devotee in the audience who was there was Guru Das, Jamuna's former husband. So he was there. So that was in 71. So fast forward to, I think, 4 years later, 75. It was a morning walk. And Prabhupada does the same thing. He starts asking everybody, you know, how do you know Krishna's God? Because he would do this. He would, you know, it was like a pop quiz. unannounced quiz. How do you know, you know, Krishna is God? Are you guys getting it, or are you just here for the prasadam, or what's going on, you know? So Gurudas remembered the incident, so he pipes up. Because when I chant Hare Krishna, I feel Krishna. That is your sentiment. So this is our founder. So listen, when you go to Prabhupada's Vani, you know, a big theme of this Founder Acharya seminar, we have to become absorbed in Vani Prabhupada. This is Vanipedia, and there's Vani Ma right there, you know. So when we're absorbed in Prabhupada, in Vani, we have to know the Vani 360, and how when Prabhupada would answer questions or ask questions and take answers, he had his reasons for doing things. For example, when someone would ask Prabhupada a question, sometimes it seemed like Prabhupada didn't understand the question, and sometimes that happened, he didn't hear it. But more often than not, when you hear the answer, our founder Acharya is not simply answering the content of the question. He's answering the intent, the motive of the questioner. He's answering the consciousness of the question. So what happens when we follow Shastra? Well, we really follow it. You know, we really make the experiment, the bhakti challenge, the bhakti experiment. Whoop. Then it's revealed. Aha. Jai Sisi Radha Gopinath. Then things become clear, gradually. For most of it's shanai, shanai. Shanai, shanai, raparamehit, buddhya, dhritigrahitaya, atmasangstang, manakritva, nakin chitapichintaye. Gradually, step by step, with full conviction, one should become situated in trance by means of intelligence. That's God-given, not Dr. Frog brain. And thus the mind should think of the self alone and think of nothing else. Krishna, the self of ourselves. So what happens? How do we become free from the four defects? This is stated in the, I forget which Upanishad. Anyway, it might be Padma Purana. I think it's both. Atakshi Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grayam Indriyai Sevon Mukhe Hijivadao Svayameva Sparatyada. Krishna's name, fame, form, qualities, pastimes, paraphernalia, they're beyond this material world. We can't apprehend them. What to speak of comprehend them? Even Krishna doesn't comprehend himself. As soon as he comprehends himself, he increases. Rup, rup. Rupa Goswami says that. There's an eternal competition between Krishna's potency and Krishna's awareness of his own potency. It's always increasing. So how do we know? If Krishna's beyond the beyond the beyond, how do we know Krishna? By agreeing to engage in his service under the guidance of someone dear to him. Sevon mukhe, that same Krishna who's beyond the beyond the beyond, sevon mukhe hijivadao tarmadye jivayati jiva, the tongue. Beginning with the tongue, if we simply agree to vibrate Krishna's glories, his name, fame, form, pastimes, qualities, adventures, and we engage in his service under the guidance of somebody who's dear to him, then Krishna, he reveals himself. It's dynamic. Bhagavad Gita isn't just a book. It's not paper and ink. Have you noticed that when you're really trying, that you really hang on every word of the Gita and every word of the speaker, but when you're just, you take it casually and, you know, you don't really care, then it just bounces off. Because it's Krishna. Krishna in sound vibration. Okay, let me see if anything else written down. Oh, I'll end with a story about Shastra, the Prabhupada story. Since we've been reading the fifth canto, and it's beyond the beyond the beyond, and it's higher dimensional, it's inconceivable and unlimited and eternal, just like the scientists say, but it's coming from Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. It's not coming from a black hole or a big bang or a cloud of crud or an infinitesimally receding point. Here's the Shastra story. 1969, Srila Prabhupada is in England, And he's staying at John Lennon's estate in Tittenhurst. Yeah. And in America, everybody's glued to their TV sets. Well, actually, he wasn't in England yet. He couldn't. No, he was in England. Anyway. Anyway, it was because I know the date of the moon landing, so-called. Neil Armstrong, he just passed away. He was practically deified for being the first person, so-called, to land on the moon. So they were watching it on TV, the devotees with Prabhupada, you know. One small step for man, one great leap for mankind. This is Neil Armstrong's words as he's so-called planting the American flag into who knows where. Prabhupada said different things, maybe Rahu. Actually, your father has a nice story about this. Yadavar Prabhu told me that he was at Krishna Balaram Mandir chanting japa, circumambulating. You know how you can circumambulate, you know, that right around the temple. And Prabhupada was in his quarters. And then all of a sudden, Yadavar said that he started thinking about the moon landing. And, you know, how could it not have been true? I mean, so many, it seems like everybody saw it on TV and, you know, they wouldn't lie, would they? Uh-huh. So Yadavar was trying to chant his japa, but he was being harassed by these thoughts. Has your father ever told you this? Okay. So all of a sudden, somebody taps Yadavar on the shoulder. A devotee says, Yadavar Prabhu, Srila Prabhupada wants to see you. So Yadavar Prabhu goes into Prabhupada's quarters, the way we can do today, the same desk where the murti is now. Yadavar Prabhu bows down, looks up, and Prabhupada looks Yadavar Prabhu right in the eye. I'll look in Yadavar's daughter's eye now. And I know what you're thinking. Take it from me. They didn't go anywhere. Whoa. Okay. So, rewind again, 1969. They're watching the moon landing, so-called, on TV. Brought to you by Procter & Gamble. The folks who are ruining the earth and polluting the air, now they're bringing you the moon landing. Believe this, we'll tell you another one. Okay, so... No, that was just my editorial. That's not what it said. Anyway, so they're watching this. And so... Anyway, Prabhupada's servant at the time is a devotee named Purushottam. And then the next day, Purushottam is missing in action. And he's been having trouble. You know, it wasn't... Maya doesn't come all of... I mean, Maya does come all of a sudden sometimes, but usually it's gradual. It's a gradual process of going home and a gradual process of going back into the Bhava Sindhu. Bloop. So, nobody can find Purushottam. And finally they come to Prabhupada and they say, Prabhupada, Purushottam is not here. Your servant is not here. Maybe he's gone to the moon. Oh, I forgot to tell you, because Purushottam thought that we did go to the moon. He was so disturbed that Prabhupada was dismissing it as a hoax. So that was, you know, I blew the whole story. But that's why Prabhupada said that. And then, you know what Prabhupada said? He said, I could understand that he wouldn't believe me. Prabhupada, in his humility and presenting himself as an ordinary man. But how could he disbelieve Shastra? Because there's a process for going to the moon in Shastra. Yanti deva brata devan. If you want to go to the Chandra Lok, you gotta qualify. You gotta get your visa, you know, from Chandra. You can't just barge in, you know, with your machines and, you know, like that. So that was a good example of Prabhupada's absolute faith in Shastra, his humility, and by following Shastra through the peerless lens of our founder Acharya, we can go back home, back to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. Such a confidential servant our founder Acharya is of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yes, unique mercy available in his ISKCON. Okay, I'm going to read the verse again. Oh, I didn't get to read my... Anyway, did I read the rapt attention sequence before? No? Okay. You know, this rapt attention, yeah, I got sidetracked as usual. So in the purport to that, when Sutta said, I gave rapt attention to Shukadev, Prabhupada talks about how to give rapt attention. So in this age of ADD, HD, and all this stuff, you know, attention deficit disorder, we're all raptly hearing how I can give rapt attention. This is the age of distraction, right? Especially with electronic devices. So it says, the word nivishta means that Suta Goswami drank the juice of Bhagavatam through his ears. That is the real process of receiving Bhagavatam. One should hear with rapt attention from the real person. And then he could at once realize the presence of Lord Krishna in every page. And now Prabhupada, the secret of rapt attention. The secret of knowing Bhagavatam is mentioned here. No one can give rapt attention who is not pure in mind. Uh-oh. But it gets better, don't worry. No one can be pure in mind who is not pure in action. Mm-mm. No one can be pure in action who is not pure in eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating. So it gets down to the gross sensual level, and that's the level that we can start to make progress. When Arjuna says, by what is one impelled to sinful acts, even unwillingly, as if engaged by force? And Krishna says it's lust only. And then Krishna tells how we can begin to reclaim our senses, mind, intelligence from what Prabhupada sometimes would call Mr. Lust. Mr. Lust has captured the strategic points. He's captured the senses, the mind, the intelligence. So Krishna gives the whole hierarchy. You know, the working senses are superior to dull matter. Mind is higher than the senses. Intelligence is still higher than the mind. And he, the soul, is even higher than the intelligence. And then he gives the triumphant concluding verse to that chapter. Thus, knowing oneself to be transcendental to material, mind, senses, intelligence, one should control the lower self by the higher self, and thus conquer this insatiable enemy known as lust. We have to get a higher taste. We have to get a higher taste by being absorbed in nam, rupa, guna, lila. Okay, so Prabhupada says, but somehow or other, if someone hears with rapt attention from the right person, at the very beginning, one can assuredly see Lord Sri Krishna in person in the pages of Bhagavatam. Okay, I'll read the verse again if you have any questions. Oop. Lost it. Oh, there it is. Yep. here it is. Okay. Mahaprabhu says to Sanatana, the Vedic literatures composed by the omniscient Mahamuni Vyasadeva are evidence of all spiritual existence. Only through these revealed scriptures can all conditioned souls attain knowledge. Any questions or comments? Corrections? Come on, Madhu Gopal, you got to get me back for yesterday.
Don't be angry at Krishna.
He said angrily. Yes, Mataji. Srila Prabhupada writes in a third canto purport, I got to memorize the number one of these days. I love this line. A devotee is as thoughtful as a non-devotee is speculative. A devotee is as thoughtful as a non-devotee is speculative. In other words, our minds are always active. So if we want to apply, and if we want to be critical thinkers, we should turn that critical thinking onto ourselves. Right? Just watch your mind. It's a scream. It's a riot. We say a hoot. It's a real hoot. You know, the mind's always going to be, you know, judging people. You know, making these high-level, as they say in communications academia, high-level negative inferences. That means I'm always suspecting the worst about someone. Why? Because misery loves company. I want to say that that person's at least as miserable as I am, or maybe more miserable. Misery loves company. So just catch your mind. Just notice when your mind is saying, just the example I gave, oh, that person's so lusty. That person's so angry. That person's so greedy. Hey, it takes one to know one, right? It takes one to know one. If I'm actually free of lust, anger, and greed, I'm not even going to, you know, if it appears on the screen, I'll dismiss it and just go for the good I see. Prabhupada said, we have to become like bees. You know, right now, the mind is like a toxic waste dump, and it's where flies hang out, and we just go for the sores, because as long as I'm insecure in my relationship with my spiritual masters and Krishna, to make myself feel good, I'm going to be constantly judging others, right? That's just human psychology. What did Fritz Perls say? What I cannot abide, what I cannot tolerate in myself, I tolerate even less than others. It's just basic psychology 101. So therefore, Krishna says, Udharet atmanatmanam atmanam avasadayet atmaiva hyatmano bandhur atmaiva riparatmana. A man must elevate himself by his own mind, not degrade himself. The mind is the friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy as well. So the mind is compared in that Upanishadic metaphor to the steering wheel. Remember that story about, I told you Prabhupada was talking to the Detroit auto aristocracy, right? Yeah, and he was talking about all the problems in the cars. and then when he said, so this body is like a car, and then they really got it. So the mind in that Upanishadic metaphor is the steering instrument. It's either the reins, you know, if it's horses, or it's the steering wheel. So as long as I have a firm grip on that steering wheel, it's my friend, because it's helping me go where I want to go. But as soon as, like Albert Camus once did, Albert Camus, the existentialist, said, the only question worth asking oneself is whether one should commit suicide or not. Because life is absurd. It has no... And then one night, he answered in the affirmative. He let go of the steering wheel of his mind, or the steering wheel of his car, but first to let go in the mind. And he went off a cliff. Yeah. So we have to control, if we control the mind through living the life that our gurus have given us by meditating on Krishna and seeing everything in relationship to Krishna instead of my own, you know, conniving for my own happiness, then it's controlled. But as soon as we let go of the mind, we all know, as soon as you let go of the mind, whoa, woo, ho. Here's a nice analogy. Waterfall. You've heard of this waterfall analogy? Okay. You're swimming in a river, and you're happily swimming away, but you notice the current's getting swifter because, wow, there's a waterfall ahead. I'm going to go right over the edge, and it's 200 feet down. Holy smoke. So as soon as you see that, and the current's starting to pull you, if you're smart, you swim, you make a beeline for the shore. And that's called stopping, you know, contemplating the objects of the senses and thinking. Now, if you're in the water and you notice that there's a waterfall there, and you just start thinking, oh, I wonder what it'd be like to go over the falls, you know, kind of suicidal thoughts, right? Just the mind's like that. The mind is self-destructive. So, and you start feeling it, you know, and then the current gets swifter because you're dallying in the water, whoa, what am I doing, you know? And then you try to swim, and it's tougher, but you make it. Now, willing is like you've thought about it, you're feeling it, and then even if at the last minute you're at the edge of the falls and you think, no, I can't do that, it's too late. Therefore, a Vaishnava stops at thinking. As Brahmananda, one time Swami told us, yeah, I was stopped at a stoplight in Nairobi. I was driving the car and Prabhupada's sitting in the passenger seat. And we're stopped at a stoplight. And this pretty girl walks across the street and my eyes just went and then he looked at Prabhupada and said, "Prabhupada, it seems hopeless, you know. As soon as I see a pretty girl, it's like..." And so Prabhupada says, "That is natural." And then he gives the punchline. "But a Vaishnava stops at thinking." Don't think, as Prabhupada would sometimes say, that these thoughts don't come into the mind of great souls. But they just dismiss it, you know, just like that. So, in classic series for a fashion, I've forgotten your original question. The original question was... Yeah, just be thoughtful. Just look at it, because we're not this material mind. Just, that's called vijnanamoya. We're able to separate ourselves, you know, from our gross body and our subtle mind. You can observe your mind, and then as soon as you do that, you know, boy, I really got some, you know, training to do here. Instead of our minds being a toxic waste dump, we have to line our mind with Krishna's nama rupa guna lila. Like when I lasted 11 years as a brahmachari. How did I last that long after being trained on sex, drugs, and rock and roll in the 1960s? I lined my mind with these word pictures, these Gita verses. I memorized the Gita, and I was too busy memorizing Gita verses to do anything else. So it's nice, you know. I still remember a lot of verses. As soon as you see something, instead of it being prey for our sense gratification, we can think it reminds us of Krishna. 1969 June, Hayagriva's wife Shyamadasi, the late Shyamadasi, and the late Hayagriva, says, "Swamiji, yeah, it was still Swamiji. What does it mean a pure devotee sees Krishna everywhere? What does that mean?" So Prabhupada's chanting back and forth, and she's cleaning, and then there's Prabhupada's shoes right there, right by Shyamadasi, and so Prabhupada said, "So, what do you think when you see my shoes?" "Oh, those are Swamiji's shoes." "Yes, so this is how," Prabhupada said, "this is how Krishna sees everything. Everything is Krishna's." As Kaviraj Goswami says in CC, he says, "Stavara jangama deki." Whatever a pure devotee sees, whether it's moving, unmoving or moving, stavara jangama. He doesn't just see the thing, he doesn't exactly just see the thing, but he sees it in relationship to Krishna. This is Krishna's tree, Krishna's everything. Yo mang pashati sarvatra. So how to do that? How to do that is to just be absorbed in the life of our life, Krishna, in his words, and apply them and do it. And then we can be introspective enough to catch our mind. And we won't relish finding faults. We'll say, "Oh, that's same old, same old. Come on, Sureshvara, wake up. Come on, become a bee. Don't stay like a fly." You know, so... It happens as we desire. Krishna, he says, "As you surrender, I reward you." So we can't do it on our own. We need help. We're tiny creatures. Help. Save me from my fly-like tendency to find fault. Make me a bee again. So that's what Prabhupada said. After that, Shyamadasi said, so then Prabhupada was chanting in the room. And it's like an actor on a stage. Shyamadasi said he was, and he had his chudder, and he had his chudder like a cape, like an actor with a cape. And then she said, Prabhupada said, "My spiritual master has made me a jewel." And as he said that, he wheeled around and like an actor, and like that with his chudder, you know, like a cape. "My spiritual master has made me a jewel, and I will make you all jewels." Yes. So that can only happen if we take it. It's available. You know, it's available. The mercy is available. Guru, sadhu, shastra, everything we have. So many matchless gifts. Simply we have to take advantage. Okay. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Bhaktivinoda ki jai.